Hello and welcome to Worship Conversations, a podcast by Awakened Generation. We are a worship missions organization based in Singapore with a passion to equip and empower the church in all things worship. We're back with another deep dive episode where we explore core topics in our AG Worship School and answer some of our students' questions. On this episode, we talk about honor and the importance of having healthy confrontation. Let's get to it. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Awakened Generation podcast.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
And today we are back with another deep dive episode. And the topic is on culture of honor.
Love it.
So with me, we have our senior leaders, Alaris and Kelvin, who are not strangers to you. So.
Thanks for having us again, Delphine.
Always. Yes, and culture of honor is actually one of the values of Awakened Generation that we walk in. Yeah. And personally, since joining the team, I think I have not experienced a community that has honor in their values. And I feel like that was very revolutionary for me. But we're going to hear more from Kelvin and Alaris, like why is culture of honor so important to them? Why is it important to God? So let's jump right into it. Would you tell us, why culture of honor?
Why or what?
Sure, why or what?
Maybe we start with the what first. Yeah. But basically, culture of honor is being able to see people the way God sees them. Mm. It's being able to see the value in the person the way God values them. Mm. So it's really about building community through God's eyes, really seeing the value in each person. And when I say this, before you know the person, it's very easy to just say that, right?
I agree.
Because, you know, before you truly know someone, it might be easy to just be like, yeah, I love everyone, woohoo. But I think culture of honor is really tested when you get to know someone, and actually sometimes the longer you know someone, then you realize like, oh, people are not perfect. And people don't think the same way that I do. People have different opinions. So the culture of honor is then in those moments, or learning how to, even when you see someone's flaws or you see someone's mistakes or even sin, but you're able to relate to them in the way still that God has always seen them and destined them and created them to be. And so it's not just seeing them, but it's also relating to them in that manner.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even though they've made mistakes, even though there may be flaws, but I'm still going to relate to you like you're going to do these great things for God.
Good.
Yeah, because you're in a sense calling out who they've always were meant to be in the Lord.
Yeah.
So
amazing.
I think last week Convergence, Alaris mentioned that the foundation of honor is unity. And so if you think about, you know, going back to the scriptures where, you know, in the beginning of Genesis, that, you know, you can see that the theme of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they were all in one together. Let us make man in our own image. So it's not it is that combination of that everybody plays a role, everybody's involved in that. And so you can see the example of Jesus when he came to the earth. I mean, he was born through a manger, and you can see that God the Father honoring him. And, you know, when Jesus was baptized, you know, the heavens opened the first time. You see in the New Testament where the voice of the Father spoke, "This is my Son, who I'm well pleased," and then the Holy Spirit descended and rested upon him. And so you see how Jesus model honor by preferring others over himself. He goes for not just the underdogs, but he elevates people. And so when you think about the word honor, it's actually defined as it's been highly esteeming somebody, putting value on that person. And so I heard before that sometimes is honoring someone is not based on whether they deserve it or not. You honor someone is because you yourself, you're honorable.
Yeah.
So it depends on the way how you carry yourself as well. And so, but then we go above and beyond, we honor others based on the fact that how God sees them and the way how we carry ourselves.
Yeah. I want to pick up on that point that Ellery's mentioned, like that it's easy to say culture of honor when you are not really involved or like not really knowing a community or plugged into the community, right? But that's really tested when you really do life together, you do ministry together, and then all the conflict and the disagreement starts to arise.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a very important thing for us to know also, because, you know, so often in our churches or our communities, we can adopt this position where it's like, I'm not going to get involved. Like, I'm going to stay, like, a bit away because I don't want to deal with the conflict and all of this. But actually, true unity and true relationship, true relationship actually comes from that grind, right? The grit of, like, having to sit someone down and say, like, hey, this affected me. And so that is really uncomfortable but so important for true relationships to be formed. And I was just thinking that because also, like, a lot of kind of church splits we see or, like, cell group splits and things like that actually comes from that place of I don't want to engage in having those conversations with people.
Let's get used to it, guys.
Yeah, and, like, you know, I know, and personally also, like, I think it's also a personal struggle. Like, it's easier to just ghost everybody and then disappear.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole, like, I cut them off.
Yeah, I just burn the bridge and bye. And then I do it in the same. The moment some things arise again, I do it the same in the next community. And then you just end up like going through communities, like shopping, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe because culture of honor is such a key value to Awakened Generation, maybe you can share a bit about why it's so important to both of you, and how you've kind of cultivated this in Awakened Generation over the last 9 years.
I think, taken back from one of the Ten Commandments is honor your father and your mother so that you may have long life. So there's benefits in honoring. But I think honoring is God's ordained way for us to actually go deep in relationship. And I think sometimes we think about honoring is somebody who has done something good. But honoring somebody is also helping them see the blind spot in their life and calling that out. That's why...
Yeah.
I mentioned many times before that culture of honor comes with a culture of confrontation as well. Because when you're confronting issue, you're actually helping that person to be set free or bringing them into a better place or actually help empowering them to become who they're meant to be.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't see that because we all have blind spots. And like what you say, you know, when you're not willing to confront, when you're not willing to love somebody and go beyond that, then guess what happens? They stay the same and they never change. In fact, they might literally infect those around them without even knowing that. And so if you think about Jesus, actually he confronts a lot of sinners.
Mm.
But the way how he confronts the sinners is with love, but he don't tell them to go and sin no more, but he also gives them a direction, a purpose, and he loved on them as well. And I think when healthy confrontation in a culture of honor is done in a way that's loving, truthful, and gracious, it helps that person to change. And I think one of the key things is that, you know, I think maybe in team culture or in our environment or ministry or people that we kind of work with along, you have to navigate and you have to consistently fight against the spirit of familiarity.
Yeah.
And so if you think about it, like, you know, the famous scripture where Jesus says that he cannot do much miracles in his own hometown because he's not honored, a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. I think that's not a statement to say, okay, let's move on. I think Jesus is actually giving us an insight to say, hey, we need to challenge this toxic culture. Because the reason why he's not honored is in hometown, because they're so familiar with him, they've seen him grown up, they forget that there's potential of greatness that they've missed out.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that Jesus done anything wrong, but because there's such a familiarity, maybe, oh, he's the carpenter's son, or he's grown up this way, how could he even be God? How could it be possible? What can great come out of Nazareth? And so you tend to have that negative mindset or that upbringing that you cannot see any potential. That is actually not on that person, it's actually on you.
Yeah.
You might carry offense, or you might carry bitterness or jealousy, so therefore you will compete. I think that's very, very contagious here in the Asian culture, so to speak. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So good. No, that was great stuff.
Right? Yeah.
Nothing that.
Yeah, I think, you know, so often people misappropriate the word culture of honor to being like, oh, you need to accept everything that your leader does. You need to submit, you know, like when Paul used the word submit, we always think like negative in the negative sense, right? Like like whatever they do, no matter how toxic, I have to like give myself to that.
Yeah,
but actually culture of honor is so, it comes so hand in hand, or actually involves that culture of confrontation as well. And like to share a story about Awakened Generation, I remember one time, like I just joined. And Calvin Annerys called the whole team into the room and Annerys just shared like, hey, there was some stuff that came up and I felt this way from it.
Some tension.
Yeah, and it was so tense. Like, I was sitting
extension.
There. Extension. Because, like, and, you know, we always say that, like, many of us, especially Asian cultures, we are taught to be conflict averse, right?
Yeah.
Like, we are
like
taught
sweep
to...
sweep it under the carpet.
Yeah, we're like, okay, if you don't talk about it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah, but what actually happens is that it builds
into this giant
monster, and then one day it's just like a
and then you don't know
how
to
and I cut you off
and then I don't know how to do it. Yeah, it happens so much. I mean, it's so personal to me too.
Yeah,
but then in that tense moment, and everyone was involved in that conversation were kind of sharing their point of view as well, and so then there was this like confrontation. And I was just sitting there like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Like, I don't know what to do.
What
like,
did I get myself into? Yeah.
And then at the end, like, they came to a agreement. And then they all apologized to each other. And then they all hugged each other. And I was like, whoa. I was like, is this what healthy relationship looks like?
It's family.
Yeah, it's like the first time I feel that that's been modeled for me.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the key things as being a staff on AG is that one of the key questions is, have I dealt with conflict in a timely manner?
Mm.
And we always have that conversation, and I always sit there in front of Ellery's being like,
no, I had the conflict 5 years ago.
It's like, I waited 2 months, and then the timing was over.
Yeah. But I think it's important for us to realize that... this is, I believe, an invitation from the Lord to grow in spiritual maturity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, the culture of honor, it's kind of the word of God being lived out.
Yes.
Because the word of God shouldn't just be something that you just have in your head as knowledge. Oh, the Bible says I should honor one another. I've memorized that. What does it look like in your day-to-day relationship, like in your family, in the spiritual community that you're part of, in your workplace? Like, are you living that out?
Yeah.
So spiritual maturity is being able to, when you read the word of God, to actually live it out.
Yeah.
And so one of the signs of spiritual maturity is, how do we deal with conflict?
Yes.
Yes. Do we? I think you already pointed it out that, I think it's good to say that, you know, many of us here, we've grown up in Asian culture where it's a very subservient, okay, like, I cannot say anything back, so I will sweep it under the carpet. But it always produces division.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not dealt with correctly. But spiritual maturity is being able to see that person, not for their flaw, but who they are in God, and then to be able to have those conversations in love. And it doesn't have to be, because sometimes we think about confrontation, you think it's about accusation.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be that way. There's a very healthy kingdom way of doing confrontation, where basically you are sharing your love for that person and how you were affected. That's all.
Yeah.
You know, how you felt through the situation, and you let that person know. And I'm sharing this with you because I value our friendship and I don't want this to get in the way of our relationship.
Yeah.
And I want us to grow from here, but I'm just letting you know this is how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, rather than, you know, like, because when you let it build up inside of you and you don't deal with it, then when you meet that person, you're just a rude person.
You always do this. Words.
Yeah, and then of course, then that meeting will probably, not end well, because no one likes to be accused.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there is a part of you that you first need to bring it to the Lord, you know, that you've already forgiven that person in your heart. But because you value the person, you're going to bring up these things that you don't want to talk about because you want that relationship to grow.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I would say like the richest friendships I have in my life have all gone through conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've been able to resolve it in love. And then it's almost like the relationship became even stronger than before. And so, yeah. So it's really, you know, it's, I just want you guys to know that growing in this area of walking in the culture of honor, dealing with conflict is very possible.
Yes.
It's very possible. You don't have to continue living your life where it's, you know, like relationships are fractured, where communities split. Yes. That's not the portion for God's people.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, because we often think like in these situations when there's disagreement or conflict, there's like two ways we can go, right? One is you keep quiet. And then you bide your time, and then when the time is right, you just leave.
Yes,
or
exactly.
You come out right and you fight the person. Because that was I was a bit like that last night in school. Just very, very, I would use the word actually rebellious because like I disagreed and I felt very devalued, right? Mm. And so I always feel like I need to stand up, you know, stand up for the common man. And I would come against the leaders, and it was honestly really very bad. Okay, if you met me 5 years ago, I think you'll be like, "Huh,
the same a rebellion person? Led by Delphine Tan."
Yeah, a coup. Yeah. So I think we always think that there are these two, just these two ways, but I think just recognizing that there's actually a God way.
Yes, that's right.
That doesn't look like either, and it might still involve things like biting your tongue, you know, choosing to say things at the right time, the way you say things, you know, but there's really just, I'm learning, there's really just such a healthier way to do confrontation and feedback and honoring, in the honoring way, even in my own home, like with my family, my parents, like when I disagree on some things, I'll actually use the skills that I learned here to communicate with my parents. And it works. Sometimes it works. Sometimes they still
have their way of thinking.
Yeah, still a wall. I think maybe it's time to talk about this issue, right? Because when we have conversations with people, they may not always be ready to hear it. And their response may be, we are fearful about their response.
Mm.
Right. So how would you encourage people to still have these conversations, maybe with a boss or with their parents?
Mm. I think one of the key factors is that when you're going to a conversation and intend to honor that person but also confront an issue, I think a couple of things that you need to look out for. Number one is that, you know, is it motivated by love or is it motivated by anger and hatred of some of an issue? And of course, I think I seek to connect, finding the connection of heart because that's where trust is built, right? And of course, I seek to understand and clarify so that we're on the same page. I think given in terms of the situation or relationship, if it's somebody that I'm kind of journeying with or kind of speaking to your life, I've always I made this comment where I say, hey, would you give me permission to coach you in one specific area that I can bring a light into this? See, you're asking for permission, and if they say yes, it means that, you know, then they are willing to receive. And so it depends on the situation as well. And I think, you know, something that we talk about in our leadership stream is the conflict management, how we deal with this is using the SBII method.
Mm-hmm. My favorite.
Yeah. The SBII method is about, you know, giving a very specific situation that this incident or this conflict occurred so that there's a factual situation that you can present a fact. And then B stands for behavior. How was the behavior that kind of presented, whether you were, you know, came across arrogant or came across, you know, the behavior was not acceptable, so to speak. And then of course I is the impact that it made on you. So how did it make me feel about situation, or you know, when I'm having conversation with someone and then you cut in and you interjected, you kind of like the behavior of that kind of made me feel I'm not valued, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, the last is the other I, which is what was the intention? Because sometimes we can't judge the intention of somebody, but we like to know what was the intention.
Yeah.
Because the person might say, oh, I'm so sorry, I was running late for something, I just want to cut in and tell that person about a thing that to remember, and I didn't realize that you guys were having conversations, it didn't occur in my mind. So the intention may be very, very positive, but you know, at the same time, I think when you really seek to understand, you clarify, then you have a fuller picture of how to resolve the issue. I think the posture should be in an attitude of bringing resolution and resolving rather than accusation or condemnation, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's honoring, because you know, at the end, what's the end of this conversation is that we can reconcile and resolve so that we can get better with each other. And again, like I was laughing when Elvis was talking about friendship. Some of the deepest, greatest friendship that I formed actually happened in a very, very tough conflict situation.
Yeah.
I mean, this was when I was younger and so forth. And yet, because when we are able to go so intense in that conflict and come out so different, we actually really, really fight for each other and love each other.
Yeah.
And so there's a saying that in something that we implement or we walk in the working generation is that we affirm publicly, but then we correct privately.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say correct, is you know being able to bring the issues out there, talk about and sort it out, so that when we come out, as if like people don't know, oh wow, everything is, you know. So culture of honor, there's a lot of hard work that goes behind the scenes.
It is.
And I think it's important hard that whether you are a leader or you're not, I mean, when I say leading, positional leader or somebody who leads a life group or somebody who's a member, I think honoring happens in all different levels.
Yes.
Yeah.
And multi-directional too.
Correct. Yes.
360.
360. Yeah, 360. Honor. Yeah, honoring.
Wow, that's the framework we should start.
Yeah. 360 honoring.
Yeah. But I think also just to know that that you have a part to play in being able to, like, if you sense the tension, you are responsible for making an effort to resolve it with the other person, but you also do not have control over the other person's response.
Right.
I think the only thing that you should be responsible for is that you're doing it out of love, like you've already forgiven the person before the conversation, and that you are having the conversation to resolve things and to build a stronger relationship. But will there be cases where the other party doesn't take it well, even? For sure.
Yeah.
And this is the part where it's like, okay, well, I have to release it to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I got to pray. I pray this person won't be offended, you know, unnecessarily. I pray that, you know, that they won't believe a lie about our relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's good.
And I think it's important that how not to dishonor someone, I think it's something that we can learn as well, is that it's important who you bring into the conversation.
Yeah.
If you have an issue, so if I have an issue, so to say, with Delphine, I need to find out who I'm talking to. I mean, of course, go directly to Delphine. If Delphine's not listening or she's carrying grudges or so forth,
I'm angry.
Then I need to talk to somebody who's mature, who can also bring resolution.
Yeah.
Rather than actually, this is where gossip begins, because
at the firewood.
Yeah, you're airing grievances, and if Allery's have something on Delphine, guess what she does? She becomes my team member. We start partnering, and we start praying vigorously for praise. Delphine. But we call prayer gossip, and nothing
they
is
call
resolved.
Gossip prayer.
Oh yeah, call gossip prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's not healthy. And so, you know, because when you carry an offense, you know, somehow they're cousins, they just gravitate to each other. And so I think it's important that when you have offense, deal with it with your heart first. Confess it to somebody who's mentoring or discipling you to say, hey, I'm feeling this way. Help me to understand, is this right thinking or is this right posture? And I think when someone loves you enough to tell you that, hey, actually, no, I think that's wrong, then you are able to receive and help to repent and actually forgive that person before going forward to that.
That's good.
And that will resolve so many things. And some, I mean, offense will come.
Okay.
Offense will come. You know, every day we get offended left and right.
You know, I want to laugh about this because there was once I got offended that people got offended. Can you see how crazy that is? was so upset that people got offended.
And that's what happens when you get offended. If you don't deal with it in your heart, you easily jump on the bandwagon, and you have, you know, today there's so many ways to access and air your grievances, from social media, being a keyboard warrior, or you know, be passive aggressive. All these different things comes about. And again, something that, you know, first of all, is this honoring to the Lord? And is it helpful to restore that person?
Yeah.
If it's not, don't get involved in it. In fact, turn to prayer and say, Lord, I posture my heart, Lord, help me to see how you want to see this person. Because God is the one that judge, and he's the one that brings correction and restoration. And if we have that personal relationship, sure, we go in humility, we go in vulnerability to do that.
I think also another sign of spiritual maturity is when we are someone who we don't get easily offended.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're easily offended, it could actually reveal that there have been some things that we've not dealt in our own hearts.
Yeah.
Like perhaps it was
wounds
of the past in your childhood, where someone did something bad to you, and you have not forgiven that person, or you've not received forgiveness from the Lord, you've not received healing from the Lord. And so when in the future someone does something similar, like, oh, you know, it like affects you so much, and that you flare up, and then you become very angry. And so I believe like a sign of someone who is spiritually whole, and like the Lord has really healed them in many areas, is that they're just people who are not easily offended.
Yeah.
You know, because like they have received God's healing, they've received God's forgiveness, his grace. And so when someone does something mean or hurtful, like, it's okay. You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like,
just bounces off.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, that person doesn't owe me anything.
Yeah.
I won't benefit anymore from that person owing me something. Mm. Because my wholeness comes from the Lord, and in fact, I am a river of God's blessing, and I can out of that river choose to bless you and forgive you.
Wow.
And I want to add to that as well. A sign of maturity is, how do you overlook an offense and cover that person? I think in Convergence it was talked about how, you know, the example of Noah, when he was building a vineyard, he got drunk, and then one of his sons saw his nakedness and went and told everybody.
Mm.
You see, that's the part about sometimes the mistrust of leadership with whether it's members and so forth, is that there's a lot of airing out dirty laundry instead of actually covering.
Yeah.
Whereas Noah's other two sons came and saw the father's nakedness. They went back. I mean, they didn't see they saw that, you know, then they came back with a blanket, and they walked backwards, and they covered him. That shows signs of honor.
Yeah.
And so, sure, I mean, when you work in close proximity, you see a lot of flaws, a lot of shortcomings. But do you carry a spirit of offense and start airing out publicly, or, you know, or do you walk in a culture of honor where you're willing to cover for mistakes? Okay, there's a difference between covering up and cover. Okay. With somebody, you know, who's stealing money and you know, doing something that is illegal and sinful, no, you don't cover up. You expose that, but you do it also with the right intention of bringing healing and restoration to expose, so that person may receive forgiveness or repentance, so to speak. But when I talk about covering up, is that go above, beyond, and just say, you know, to overlook that offense, but then being able to have that conversation, say, hey, this is something that I saw, I'm just presenting before you, so to speak. And nobody has to know about it, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think over the last 9 years, Ellerys and I personally, we've learned from others, and we also have been through ourselves in that journey as well, where, you know, because the reason why we can learn how to cover people, because the Lord has covered us.
Yeah.
And I think you can learn from the example of how Jesus, he did that. And if any example that we can imitate and learn from, is the Lord Jesus himself. He's gracious at doing that.
Wow. So maybe we should answer some student questions.
Sounds good.
Okay, first one is, how should I deal with bitterness towards spiritual leaders who did not treat me with honor?
I want to hear from you, Delphine.
Wow.
Let's say, for example...
Yes.
I mean, yes, we are your spiritual leaders and we are your organization leaders as well.
Yes.
If we have obliviously or unintentionally maybe offended you or say something or did something and you're dealing with this bitterness, how would you approach this?
I'm so fat. No, I'm kidding. Okay, I think the first thing that I often do is definitely talk to God.
Mm.
I think so much of like conflict and if I feel that people are not treating me right or there's something that I really disagree with, I think the first person that I always go to is God.
Mm.
And I need Him to help me discern if I'm upset and bitter because of me. Like there's stuff in my heart that has not been dealt with and therefore this is triggering kind of the past experiences. Or it's really that I need to start having the conversations with that person about the issue. Yeah, and I think a big part of dealing with bitterness also is then, like you mentioned just now, Kelvin, is to bring in, like to share with a mentor that I know, who I know is not going to team up with me and go against them, but like to give advice. Yeah. Like, hey, like, is this me? Because sometimes when I'm talking to God, I'm so overwhelmed by emotion, right? That it sometimes can be hard to discern also. So actually bringing in someone else in the conversation who I can trust helps me to discern as well. And actually a big part of this is having conversation with the leader, like directly, like Ellery's, text her. Like, hey, can we chat? But I think in this particular case, if your leader treats you in a dishonoring way, like you feel it's a dishonoring way, I think the question is, do you know if the leader knows it's dishonoring, or are they just like, is this just their behavior? They're just generally like that, you know, because we all understand like generationally, like the way we talk, the way we do each other also is a bit like, for example, like my dad comes from a Hokkien background, right? So when he's talking, he's very brusque, like, right, like loud and aggressive sometimes. And I'm like, oh, well, you hurt my feelings. Yeah, but to him, that's just, like, yeah, it's just normal. It's just like I don't mean to devalue you. I don't mean to dishonor you. I am just, this is how I talk, you know. So then maybe there needs to be that conversation. It's like, hey, dad, you know, when you said that just now and when you talk very loudly, it actually made me feel really bad about myself. Mm. Oh! Then my father would be like, oh, really? Yeah. Then he would like self-reflect in a very like uncle way. It was so funny. Yeah, so I think like SBII, like the intention part is actually really important because sometimes the leader may not even know that it's dishonoring.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
You know? And also, I think after being in leadership for a while, like leading other people, you start to realize that actually you take on so much as a leader as well.
Mm.
That sometimes what flows out actually comes from the leader actually being also really broken and maybe in need of support and encouragement.
Yeah.
And we don't see that. We often see our leaders as being like the glorified person, right? And then when they make mistakes, we get super upset with them.
Mm.
But actually, they are also human in need of grace.
Yes.
And in need of so much encouragement too. So actually having that conversation really helps for me.
Yeah, I think you know, usually when we're offended or when there's, you know, hurt that happens, like our first reaction is to just make a judgment in our heart.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that person should have known.
Yeah.
But actually, like you said, like, no, people are very different. You know, like what you think, you know, was a hurtful thing, again, like person's, oh, this is how I speak. You know, so I think instead of being quick to make a judgment, be quick to clarify.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah. So it doesn't have to be like this, you know, very heavy thing where, oh, that person now is, you know, a rude person, is evil. Should I cut this person off? It doesn't even have to go down that spiral. Yeah. Okay. Everyone has, you know, their strengths. Everyone has their weaknesses. So let your first response always be seek to clarify.
Yeah.
Like just have that conversation. Like, hey, you know, when... can I just chat with you when, you know, the other day when you said this, this is actually how I felt and I was actually quite, like I felt devalued in that moment. Again, because I value our relationship, I'm sharing this with you. Can I just clarify what, you know, what did you mean when you said this, or what was your intention when you say this? And it helps to clear up a lot of things. Yeah, because really, like, some things that, you know, in your mind is like such a huge deal, so hurtful, actually that person doesn't even know or didn't even have the intention at all to hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so maybe 50% of cases or even more is just that.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, will there be, you know, some situations where, you know, that person really, like, really wanted to destroy you?
Yes, that
would be, and that's you know, something else to deal with. But again, it's not dependent on that person, like what Calvin was saying, that we honor not because that person deserves honor, but because we are honorable people, and the river of God flows through us, and we have more than enough to honor others.
What, like, I'm so curious because, you know, I think there are many people who are also victims of, like, gross violations of, you know, they're just leaders that have grossly violated their authority and their rights.
Yeah.
And it's natural to then also have a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness towards that.
Yeah. I think When somebody's given a position of leadership, of course there is that. A lot of leaders who have position of leadership, they have a domineering side.
Mm.
So it can come across as being overly exertive or overly, you know, strong, so to speak. And I think for anyone who, I mean, you're in a relationship with any person with position of leadership, I think is to know your boundaries. Again, like what you say, if the particular leader may have offended you, or so for me is always, I mean, seek for clarification, but I always observe the patterns and behavior of this leader. Is it a consistent thing that's been brought up across the board, or is this just I mean, I'm not here to double check, you know, how the person, I mean, sometimes everybody can have a bad day.
Mm.
And I think it's important, again, when you come against a conflict, is to inspect your heart where you're at.
Yeah.
But I also think it's also important not to bottle up, but also being able to have that conversation. I think sometimes we separate ourselves from leadership so far. But of course, I mean, again, if you're a corporation, you're CEO and you're somebody, maybe you don't have the access.
Yeah.
But I'm talking more in a Christian setting, in a biblical setting where the fellowship and you're serving a cell group or a ministry and so forth. I think the accessibility is there. I think the opportunity to actually have that conversation with the leader, I think, is important. And I think one of the way to help coach somebody to have a conversation, I think first of all, just come and approach and say, hey, can I share something that with you that has kind of been affecting me? So speak from a place of yourself.
Yeah.
And then say, hey, so this situation, how has it affected me? And I just want to share this with you to see if, do you think this is something that, you know, do you see this or do you understand that? And I think that approach is honoring. It is from a place of humility. Rather than, hey, I want to tell you this is what you did to me. This is what, you know, so I think posture is important. Mannerism is important. I mean, all these specs. I mean, of course, when you are, again, the leader might not even expect that of you, but I think we can do better in ourselves the way how we approach somebody who may be in authority. And not just in authority, but even somebody who may not have, again, like
a colleague
or somebody that you can actually, because you want to treat that person with honor and respect as well. To happen. Does it answer that question?
Yeah, it definitely does. And just to throw a spanner in the works, like, I just want to ask, is there, if we have listeners or viewers who are stuck in situations of, like, really abuse and there is power, there's manipulation and all of that, what would be an honoring way to deal with it? Because I think it's, would that be different? Will you approach it differently, or do you still feel that, you know, there is an honoring way to manage that?
Yeah, this is a very tough situation, and I think again, we don't, I speak for ourselves in terms of that, but I think in every organization or ministry leadership standpoint, we don't tolerate or we shouldn't condone abusive or any form of abusive form of approach, so to speak, leadership. I think when you are confronted with that, I think first of all, you need to seek help.
Yeah.
You need to seek help. Of course, going to the person that you trust most that will not kind of put off this, but say, yeah. Hey, if this is affecting your thinking, your emotions, so forth, bring it before either a colleague, bring it before either a counselor. But mm-hmm. I think approach, if there are other leadership authority figures that's in your life that is part of that resolution, then go for that. I think it's important so that you are flagging this out rather than, oh, because that, I better submit. I think, no, you need to have common sense and wisdom. You know, God gave us, you know, five senses for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And of course, the sixth one is the Holy Spirit. But, you know, it's the relationship. Go to someone you trust and say, hey, this has happened to me.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I just feel, I mean, you can, you know, whatever that makes you feel, I mean, very common words, unsafe, I feel threatened, I feel, because these are very, very heavy words.
Yeah.
And to have that. And then so that this can be flagged and this can be highlighted so that there could be, I would say, conversation or investigation to make sure that this is actually true or a factual thing rather than speculation and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I think it's important to know the difference between, and I mentioned this at Convergence, the difference between abuse and correction.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it's really like a violation, like in terms of like violence or sexual abuse, on that, of course, that is a thing that you need to involve other people. And then, you know, it could even have legal ramifications for the person who perpetrated that against you, you know. So, but it's also important to realize that, okay, is this person really abusing me right now? Or is this person having a bad day, you know? Is this a consistent behavior that they're always doing to me? Because sometimes, you know, if we have also come from the background of a lot of hurt, you know, then you're suspicious of everyone around you. And actually that person may not have an intention to make, again, you know, like I think the example that you gave earlier was great. Like, you know, your dad's someone who speaks loudly. Someone who, you know, grew up in, you know, like a hurtful environment could interpret that as like, abuse, speaking to me very loudly, you know. That's why I think this is helpful when you have a third party, you know, who is someone who is mature, you know, someone who wants the best for you, and that you bounce off with them, like, hey, is this something that is just, is really abusive, or is this, or is it because, you know, like,
this person's trying to help you.
Yeah. This person's trying to help me, but I didn't like the way that they said it to me.
Yeah.
You know, so so I think it's very important that we grow in maturity to know the difference between abuse and correction. Because again, you know, correction is, you know, sometimes you don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Because no one likes... Incorrect. No one likes to realize that they have flaws.
I agree.
Yeah. So, but again, if it comes from someone who truly cares about you and wants you to succeed, then maturity is knowing, okay, it hurts, but I'm gonna receive it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm gonna grow from here.
Yeah. That's good.
But obviously, if that person is, you know, someone you don't even know from a bath soap, and you know is. You know, saying all these different things to accuse you, whatever, then you have to be discerning.
That's right.
Whether you receive that feedback or not.
Yeah.
And you have every right to draw your boundaries on who you allow to speak into your life.
No square. Mm-hmm. And I think it's particularly important for our generation to know this, because I think words, heavy words like abuse and unsafe, like get thrown around
a lot,
like used very fleetingly, trivially, very loosely. Yeah. And I think it's important, like when we learn to walk in the culture of honor, to really mean what we are saying, to really communicate well, or learn to communicate well, at least our feelings, our thoughts, and really discern the situation at hand.
I'm like, you should join the army and see what happens.
Oh, no, don't. Okay, the army is like a whole other Well, okay. We have a very, very rich conversation about culture of honor. Any final words or encouragements to our listeners or viewers?
Yeah, I mean, I think take heart into what scripture tells us to do about honor, right? Which is to outdo one another in honor. So that means it's something that you have to make an effort to, because our natural, in the flesh, you know, we want to get offended. We don't want to resolve things. It's important to know that this is the one thing, you know, that in order to build a healthy community where we can all thrive, where it's joyful to be in that community every day, and you know, none of this the unspoken tension in the room.
The eggshells.
What do you call it? The what elephant?
The elephant in the room.
Oh, it's the elephant. I was going to say the pink elephant. I'm like, why is it pink? The elephant in the room. It doesn't have to be unhealthy.
That's right.
Yeah, but all of us have a part to play.
That's right.
We're all leaders. We all should make an effort into growing into spiritual maturity. So that means every time that there is that sort of tension, seek to clarify, you know, and think the best of the person. Instead of thinking of the worst, think of the best.
That's right. Yes.
I agree with Ellery's, everything she shared. And I think it's, honor needs to be cultivated.
Yeah.
Just like a beautiful garden and trees, you can grow things, and there's also weeds. And then part of confrontation and conflict resolution in honor is learning how to be pruned and learn how to prune. Jesus talked about it, right? John 15. So honor is part of pruning process in our life, so that we all become honorable, so we can bear much more fruits that remain.
Maybe one last encouragement, which is the next time that conflict happens, it's an invitation from the Lord to grow in spiritual maturity and to learn how to do things differently, to fight for healthy communities. It's an invitation from the Lord. So rather than saying, why is my life like this? Why do we go? Every time we face trials or different kinds of conflict, it's an opportunity for us to stand on the word of God and to live it out.
That's right.
Okay? Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe Kevin would like to pray?
Sure. Father, we just give thanks for the opportunity that whatever is translated in heaven is translated on earth. Lord, that you exemplify honor in every aspect of relationships, of the things that you value, in the gifting and the anointing. Lord, in the revelation that you've given us, Lord, we pray, Father, that as beautiful as the theme of culture of honor sound, but it's a lot of hard work. And Father, I pray for supernatural grace for so many of us here, for all listeners from Asia and across the world, Lord, whatever culture that we come from. Father, help us to adopt and adapt to the kingdom culture of how to do honor well in relationships, Lord, to stamp out any toxic areas of strongholds that the enemy might want us to have, which is division, which is accusation, which is gossip, slander, Lord, the bitterness, all these cousins that are attached to each other. But Father, that you say in your word to prefer another above ourself. And Jesus, you exemplified that by becoming a bond servant to serve others. And it doesn't mean that we belittle ourselves or we condemn ourselves. It just means that we walk in the fullness and the identity in who we are as sons and daughters, that confidence, that security, then we can afford to forgive. We can afford to be gracious. And Lord, if any of us, Lord, are growing and maturing, Lord, if Lord, let us be quick to cut off, Lord, when we get offended, let us be quick to resolve that so that it doesn't stick on us, Lord. And Lord, I pray for courage and boldness, Lord, to even being able to confront issues, to be able to have what I call courageous conversation with the person that we might have conflict with. And Father, I pray even for many of us who are walking intergenerationally with younger ones or with older ones, Father, I pray for wisdom for understanding, Lord, for the heart of connection, Lord, to see how we can honor one another. And if there are challenges and issues, Lord, may we, Lord, have the wisdom and the courage to, Lord, speak with humility and vulnerability, but at the same time, Lord, with confidence as well. And so, Father, I pray for each and every single one that, Lord, that we will come back to the heart of prayer and presenting this before you, and, Lord, having the wisdom to share with someone that will give us insight and wisdom and even understanding. And, Father, I pray even for different one of us, Lord, who may be in a situation where, yes, we have dealt with abuse in verbal or whatever, Lord, to have the courage to not cover it up or hide it, but to be able to, Lord, seek help and ask for help. Yes. So that there is not is the awareness of that will be presented, Lord. Because, Lord, you want us not just to create a safe space for people to encounter you, but, Lord, also, Lord, that there'll be maturity, Lord. And so, Lord, we give thanks. May you bless all our listeners this week. May that be opportunity for us to grow in maturity. We ask of that in Jesus' most precious name.
Amen.
Amen. We hope you have been encouraged and challenged through this episode. May we receive God's desire for unity and be courageous in pursuing love and unity in our communities. Well, that's all the time we have for today. See you next time. Bye.